This is the Off-Grid Agorist Podcast. This podcast is about sharing our journeys into liberty through self-sufficiency, off-grid living, non-compliance, counter-economics, and the agora. Every episode will contain useful, practical, and applicable information you can use to gain the freedom you deserve. This information is for educational and entertainment purposes only and should not be considered legal or financial advice. You could even consider it to be fictional if you choose. Before we start the show, I want to remind you about The Hitching Post, our free bi-weekly newsletter all about liberty through self-sufficiency and counter-economics. To sign up, go to offgridagorist.com/newsletter or click the link in the show notes. Thanks. Let's get on with the show.
Welcome, everyone, to the Off-Grid Agorist Podcast. I am your host, Regina, and I am here with Cyrus.
Hello.
The dynamic duo. And today we're talking about agorism. We're talking about off-grid, as usual. That's our thing, because we're off-grid agorists.
Right.
Right. Cool. So you have a cool topic for today. Actually, it's something I don't even know what the hell it is. So that's pretty cool.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. You know, with all the recent news about the vaccine mandates and vaccine passports and documentation and all of that, there's this argument going on, you know, and the argument is really about negative rights versus positive rights. So I wanted to get into that and kind of describe the difference between those two types of rights and tie it into that argument. So I'm going to talk about negative rights and positive rights, and then at the end I'll tie it into the argument of the vaccine documentation. So
awesome.
Yeah. So negative.
Well, before you start on that.
Yeah.
Before you all start on that. Well, and then if you keep on staying tuned, we're going to talk about off-grid, and the topic will be primitive versus modern off-grid living.
Yeah.
So you want to stay tuned for that segment as well. And before we delve into this very awesome episode, I have a couple of official business announcements to take care of.
All right. Some house cleaning.
Yeah. You know what? Okay, guys. For some reason, our email's been down for like several weeks. And we didn't notice. I know at one point, at least at one or two points, I definitely thought, wow, like no one's emailing us. This sucks.
Right.
Like really? Not a single person emailed us, but I didn't even think about looking at why. You know?
Right.
I just thought maybe we're just boring.
Well, and I had had that thought too, like, wow, we hadn't had any comments in quite a while, but I kind of just chalked it up to the fact that over the last month, we've kind of dropped the ball and we haven't been dropping as many episodes, you know?
Right.
So I thought, you know, maybe things just kind of slowed down because of that. But no,
yeah.
The email wasn't working.
Oh, no, it wasn't working at all. So we had several emails about collaboration. So if you did email about collaborations, I did receive it, and I did email you back. Check your spam folder. There were several orders of the ebook, and one particular order, a gentleman was ordering with XMR and emailed about that, and I did send your copies, better late than never, so check your email, check your spam folder. Lots of positive notes from listeners, lots of people enjoying our personalities and what we talk about. One guy really likes it when we talk about the money.
Money.
Because it all comes down to the money.
It's all money makes the world go round.
Mm-hmm. Necessary evil. Yeah, so we did receive your emails. Sorry that we didn't get back to them for like 2 months. But it's working now, I think. I don't know. I gotta check it again. That was official business number one.
Yeah, so send us some emails so that we can check to see if it's working still.
Right. That's a great idea. Send us an email. If I email you back, it's a good sign.
Yeah.
Official business number two, we have completely dropped the ball on the newsletter. You are not missing out. Great. I feel like such a loser right now.
Yeah. Well,
there's no excuse.
Life has kind of gotten in the way the last couple months or last month or however long it's been. And so, it's a shitty excuse, but it's the only one we have. And we're going to solve that.
Yeah, we're going to resume the newsletter somehow, some way. I don't know at what interval at this point, but it'll happen.
Yeah.
So stay tuned for that if you did sign up for the newsletter. If you have not signed up for the newsletter, you can go to offgridagorist.com/newsletter and sign up.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently people were enjoying it because I got a few emails from people asking where it was. Like, right. Oh my God, we're so horrible. And there was a third thing. I'm trying to jog my memory. It must have not been that important. We're okay. We are okay. We had a person concerned about us because we dropped the ball on recording for a few weeks there, I think. Obviously, we're back.
Yeah, I think we went 3 weeks.
But we did not get nabbed by the feds. We did not get nabbed by the feds or the IRS. We're not in prison. We're not in Gitmo. Like, we're safe. Right. We're good.
Yeah.
I think that's all I had to say.
Cool.
All right. So, without further ado, take it away, Cyrus.
Yeah. So, negative and positive rights. And those are just terms. There's no connotation of an assigned value, like one is better than the other. They're just different. And I'm going to describe the difference and then kind of describe where agorism falls, the philosophy. So negative rights are the freedom from interference. So, like, if you want to use the Bill of Rights in the Constitution as an example, the government shall not, anything that starts with the government shall not is a freedom from the interference of government. And so within the Bill of Rights, there's, seven of the Bill of Rights are negative rights. So, they also don't obligate anyone to any kind of specific action. So an example of that would be, I love to jog for 2 hours every day. That's a negative right because no one has the right to stop me from jogging every day. It also does not obligate anyone. Just because I love to jog for 2 miles every day doesn't mean I'm entitled to a jogging path. No one has to get me a treadmill so that I can jog while the weather is shitty. You can't interfere with my right to jog. That's all it is. And so a lot of times people want to list the rights that they have, and you can't do that with negative rights. You can't list them because they're literally innumerable. You just can't interfere with my right to do what I want to do. And my negative right ends at your negative right. So if I love to jab my arm into the air 10 times every day, you can't stop me from doing that. But I don't have the right to jab my arm into your face because I can't interfere with your right to not be harmed. Right? So that's the idea of a negative right. A positive right, on the other hand, is the freedom to something. It's an entitlement. So when someone says, I have the right to free housing, that's an entitlement. You have to redistribute value from other people to give to a person when you're talking about a positive right. And we have positive rights in our daily lives all the time. And a positive right also obligates somebody else to supply your right. An example of that in the free market is, I'm a member of Planet Fitness. So I'm entitled to use their facility. And they are entitled to receive $10 a month from me. It's an entitlement. I'm free to go to their facility anytime business hours, anytime they're open. And as long as I follow the rules of the contract, I'll give them $10 every month, and that's their end. That's their entitlement. But we're both obligated. They're obligated to keep the lights on in the gym. They're obligated to, you know, give me a clean environment to work out in, and I'm obligated to follow their rules and to give them $10 a month. So if I tried to assert a positive right, it would be like, well, I don't have the right to go to Planet Fitness if I'm not a member. Okay. So that's the difference. The positive rights are entitlements, and they're attained. You have to attain them. They're not inherent. A negative right is inherent. I have the right to jog 2 miles every day if I want to. It's an inherent right. You can't stop me from doing that, or you can't ethically, morally stop me from doing that. But I have no right to demand that Planet Fitness let me in their door unless Planet Fitness and I have consented to an agreement that allows me to gain that right.
Okay.
So, you know, we have, there's all kinds of examples. An internship is another example of a positive right. I agree to give you my cheap labor because I know very little about the business I want to learn. I'm obligated to give you cheap labor. You're obligated to teach me about the business I want to learn.
So a positive right is usually like about the money then. Like, it's usually a money exchange of some sort.
It's a value exchange.
Resources. Yeah. Value exchange.
It's a value exchange of some sort. I mean, it doesn't have to be, but that's in the free market. It's always going to be that.
Right.
It's going to be an exchange of value, whether it's money or something else.
Okay.
So if
those
I make
are interesting concepts, I've never heard of negative or positive rights before. So I learned something new.
Yeah, most people just think rights are rights, and they're not. There's different types of those. Those are the two different types of rights, and there's subsets within those that we could get into at another time, but it'd be too long of a discussion for now.
Mm-hmm.
And so when it comes to the lockdowns and masks and vaccines and all of that, the argument is between a positive right or a negative right. And when people say, you have no right to dictate my healthcare choices, they're claiming a negative right, a right to not be interfered with. Right. So the other side of that argument is your personal health care choices are superseded by the right of the public to be safe. So it's a right from interference, and then the public has a right to be safe.
Right.
And that can happen in the free market also. We can hash out that argument in the free market. For example, Walmart has never forced me to wear a mask.
Mm-hmm.
If they did, I would probably
go somewhere else to buy my groceries. If Walmart ever tells me you can't come in this store unless you're vaccinated, I will find somewhere else to get my groceries. And as long as the market is free, there will be somewhere I can go to get my groceries and not have to be vaccinated. There's examples of this kind of, these kinds of rights all over the place. Like out here, we have a lot of watering holes, a lot of places to go swimming. There's creeks. They're all over the place out here. And
cool.
In this, near this one popular place to swim is a gas station that, there's a sign on the door that says you can't go in there in a bathing suit. Like you got to cover yourself before they let you in. It's clearly posted right on the door. And if you want to do business in that store, you've got to follow their rules. But if you go 7 miles to the other swimming hole, there's another store that caters to people going there to swim, and there's no such rule there. And so you have a choice of which swimming hole to go to. And a lot of times that people who are claiming that they have, that you're obligated to provide them a certain right, their arguments are usually something like in the example of the swimming hole and the gas stations, someone might say, but I live near this watering hole and you're not going to let me in this store if I'm wearing my bathing suit. Your choice is go to the other watering hole. But then they would say, but I don't want to drive 8 miles to go to the other watering hole. I live next to this one. Well, it's your choice. Choose which way you would rather be inconvenienced. Would you rather drive 8 miles so that you can go in the store in your bathing suit? Or would you rather keep a pair of shorts and a t-shirt with you and go to the swimming hole that's closest to you?
Right.
So when you're talking about the vaccines, the only time it ever becomes a problem with positive rights, because remember, positive rights create an obligation on someone. Someone is obligated to give you your positive right. And so the only time there's ever really a problem with that is when government does it.
Because God, I know you're going to say that.
Yeah, because there's no consent. For you to obligate me to something requires me to have a choice. It requires my consent. But when government does it, consent is removed from the equation. So now you're just forcing an obligation on me that I didn't agree to. And this is the argument of the vaccine mandate.
Interesting. Well, so I think what's happening is let's say Walmart says you must be vaccinated to enter our store. Is that really Walmart's, you know, is that their company saying that? Or are they just saying that because they're mandated by the government to say that? They're being controlled.
Yeah, so the easy way to figure that out is, one, the government, if they're going to mandate something, they have to write it down. So there would be evidence of the government mandate. Number two would be, if it's a government mandate, then all the other stores that don't want to follow that mandate, now it's got to be a quiet kind of thing. And it's got to be a kind of under the radar kind of thing. Otherwise, the government can come in and shut them down. And so if the government creates a mandate for a specific thing, whatever goes against that specific thing now becomes black market or gray market.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the easy way to find out if it really is a mandate or not.
All right. Well, that's all interesting. But then my negative right is that I will not put a foreign substance into my body, and that is my choice.
Mm-hmm.
But that clashes with the positive right of a store, restaurant, bar to say you can't come in here without that vaccine.
That is a clash.
So I'm on the losing side. I'm on the losing side of it.
Well, I mean, that's not how I see it. I just, if a restaurant says I'm not allowed to go in there without a vaccine, then I just go to another restaurant. It's no big deal to me.
Yeah.
Now, if the government mandates it and now every restaurant requires that, now I'm on the losing end because I no longer have consent. I no longer have a choice or control okay. over that. Unless I can find a restaurant right. in the black market, which you would be able to. Regulation always creates black market.
Regulations, yeah. So I'm sure a lot of people are a little nervous about all this right now. I know that I am really concerned if they were to mandate the vaccine to go and get basic goods and services, you know, how are we going to work around this? And what will naturally arise is a black market of offering right. those basic goods and services. Now, it might not be freaking, you know, your Walmart where you have access to everything you could ever mm-hmm. possibly want at the lowest prices.
Right.
You know, you're going to have to probably sacrifice some things that you enjoy. But in general, you will be able to circumvent around it if you choose not to basically participate in this tyranny.
Right.
Because that's what it is.
And opportunities would be created. So.
Yes.
Well, I can't. Let's say I live in a place where Walmart is my only choice to buy groceries. Which, you know, there may be some of those places out there. I don't know.
There are. Oh, but, yeah. I've seen them.
But yeah. depending on how committed I am to my stance against a vaccine, maybe I just start ordering everything from Amazon. I mean, you can get food from Amazon now.
You might have to order everything online.
Mm-hmm.
They'll also bring stuff out to your vehicle, too. I imagine you wouldn't have to be mandatory vaccinated for that, a pickup right. service. You just won't be able to go into their facility. To me, that's just like, the fact that we're even having this conversation is totally radical. Like, this whole situation we're in is freaking extreme.
Yeah.
And yeah, we are just being conditioned. We're being conditioned for it. And like you said, about 6 months ago, the masks was the beginning. That was the beginning right. of the conditioning. Now it's the, you must show proof of vaccine or a negative test to go do fun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Events, concerts, which is what's happening to me, actually, at this moment. I'm flying out to Washington to go to Bass Canyon, which is one of the most massive EDM festivals, electronic dance music festivals, ever on the planet. It's huge, it's amazing, it's fun. Super last-minute decision. And one of their things is you must provide a negative COVID test or proof of vaccine to be allowed entry.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So that's like the second round of conditioning. The third round will be you must show proof of vaccine to enter. You know?
Yeah.
I think it's heading that way. I think it's heading that way.
Well, and then you've also got all of the propaganda networks showing, I mean, I don't know that if you've seen them or not, but all these commercials talking about how important Ooh. It is that we protect our community and for the good of the people, and you're a shitty citizen if you don't, and, you know, protect your neighbor by getting the vaccine. All these, I mean, we're being bombarded with the message.
Yeah. It's, you know, massive celebrities. Propaganda. What the hell happened? What the hell happened to herd immunity is what I want to know. Once we mm-hmm. reach 80% of people infected, we'll have herd immunity and we'll all be good. What happened to that? Because mm-hmm. that narrative went out the frickin' window by like June or July. They mm-hmm. swept that out and swept in mandatory vaccine BS.
Yeah.
There's been so much confusion, but, and I don't want to get too off topic of the negative versus positive rights, because that's super fascinating and how it applies to what we're going through. But I'm just in like, I'm in shock and awe of this whole situation we're in.
Mm-hmm. Well, You know, I think that once you understand what the argument it is, and that it's between positive rights and negative rights, it makes it easier for you to just say, you know, people are going to make their choices, and some people prefer positive rights, some people prefer negative rights, and the market will ultimately dictate what happens. Because right. if the government regulates it and demands it, then the black market answers the question. If there's enough people that don't want to do it, the market will answer that. You know,
right.
you'll have people
yes.
Forging documents. You'll have hackers forging apps. There'll be all kinds of ways around it if you want. So, I mean, my advice is don't get all caught up in the argument, because, you know, number one, the government's going to do what the government wants to do, and you're not going to influence their decisions anyway.
And
please don't comment me about voting. We've had these discussions before, but, you know, it's going to be what it's going to be. Your options are make a choice about how committed you are to your stance and find ways around it if you don't want the vaccine. That's it.
You're right. It's hard to not get caught up and be angry and pissed off and upset and scared and frustrated and have all these emotions. But that's the weapons they use against us, is human
right.
fear and human emotions. So you just have to take a collective stand back and kind of observe the situation and evaluate what's right for you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, so I'm going to this EDM concert, this EDM festival. I'm looking into getting the COVID test, which I really don't want to get because I really don't want my name circulated into that database,
mm-hmm.
the COVID database. But I looked into it, you know. So how much for a COVID test, you know, from CVS, so I can show this when I go through the door? They want $120
yeah.
for a COVID test.
Yeah.
$120 from CVS for a rapid result COVID test. The test has to be done within 72 hours, so I have to get the rapid result test.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what? Wait a minute. But then the vaccine is free. So it's like, well, you can show proof of vaccine or a COVID test. If you just get the jab, it's free. But if you want to show that you have just gotten the COVID test, that's $120.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like messed up.
That, well,
and then my buddies.
I mean, that should, that's very telling. That should tell people what's really going on.
Right. Well, the agenda that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's pretty much right in plain writing there. My buddies who are going with me from Montana, their COVID test, they wanted $240 mm-hmm. for the test. So it's like,
that's
oh,
crazy.
Well, might as well just get that free vaccine because I don't want to spend $240. You know, that's not what they said, but that's what a lot of people are probably doing.
Right.
To go to this festival. And it's all young 20-somethings and 30-somethings going.
What do you mean it's all young 20-somethings and 30-somethings? You're no longer in that category.
I am in 30s still.
Oh. Okay.
I'm on my final year. Okay,
oh,
okay. Mister.
Okay. Sorry.
Don't rub it in. Don't rub it in. That's why I'm going like this is my last hurrah.
Okay.
But I would like to close with this thought, or do you have another thought, and then I'll
nope.
close with my thought?
No, I've pretty much covered what I wanted to.
Okay, cool. I would never condone using any forged COVID documents. But if I did condone using any forged documents, I would probably try it when I go to this EDM festival.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Hypothetically, like, speaking.
Hypothetically, if I were to use a forged COVID test result document, this would be the time that I would try it.
It would be a good testing ground if you were really going to do something like that.
Right. But I never, ever would
just
disobey.
Just spitballing here, you know. It'd be a good time.
Yeah. I would never disobey the government, as they are now seeing, you know, anti-COVID as terrorism. I saw that on,
what?
I saw that on Twitter. I don't know if it was true. There was a screenshot of CNN showing what the government considers terrorist threats. I don't know if it was true, but anti-COVID sentiment was on there.
Anti-vaccine?
Yeah, like anti-COVID, anti-vaccine. And I didn't fact check it, so don't hold me to it, but
yeah.
It looked pretty dang real.
It's funny.
It wouldn't surprise me. Yeah, it is funny. So I would never ever be a anti-COVID terrorist. But if I were, this would be the weekend I'd do it.
Right. Yep.
Right. So, all right, on to the next segment. We're talking about primitive versus modern off-grid living techniques.
Yeah. And, you know, primitive off-grid living is not easy. And when people choose to do that, it is, there are usually circumstances that require it.
Right.
It's rarely a choice of someone just saying, I really just want to live close to nature. And, you know, and there are, don't get me wrong, there are people out there that live primitively by choice just because they think it's healthy or whatever their reasons are. But usually it is because there are a lack of resources.
Right. So the reason I chose this topic for off-grip topic today is because I was like kind of just really like butthurt and bitchy on the last episode about off-grid and how everything's skyrocketing out of control, the prices, and this is all BS, and just go live on BLM land. And, you know, I was just very cynical. So I thought about it, and I'm like, man, I gotta at least have some sort of solution, you know, some sort of positive solution. I feel better now. Like, I don't give a shit now, you know. Like, I just had to rant. I was ranty. And one of those solutions is, well, you know, if you can't afford to buy all these expensive building materials and, you know, salvage materials are drying up because no one can afford to buy it. Mm-hmm. Well, what could you do? And I mean, you could literally use what is on your property to build structures and live in them and be off grid.
Right. You know? Yeah.
Like it's a solution. It's a solution.
Yeah. There's a ton of info out there about alternative building techniques that focus around natural resources. There's just a ton of that info out there.
Right. The only thing is you really have to be pretty firm condition to do that kind of stuff. So that would be the con. The pro is it's pretty much free or extremely low cost because you're harvesting things from your property, be it lumber or mud, sand, stone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're getting it. You're using your natural resources. The cons are, I mean, you have to be like pretty buff to handle those kinds of things and pretty savvy about handling those materials too.
Right. Well, the value trade-off is just that. It's, I don't have the money, but I do have the labor.
Right.
So you got to have the labor, whether you personally, you know, you personally may not be in the condition to do something like that, but you're going to have somebody willing to help you do that because it's labor intensive without a doubt.
And I know one of our gals that listens to us that will be on the show at some point, and she's down in Ecuador, and they use this primitive building technique with like, I believe mud and straw, you know, it's jungly down there. So they have all those jungly materials to use.
Jungly materials.
Jungly materials. Like banana leaves.
Right.
I don't know. Mud and banana leaves. I don't know. Whatever they use down there.
Yeah.
And she has this, she's connected to some sort of website where people go and stay on the property and get a little bit of room and board in exchange for like this hard labor. So that's like really the way to go. You know, that would be a solution if you can't handle the labor to, you know, hire these young expats, these young folks that are traveling, these nomads, to come onto your property and do the labor for you.
Offer some positive rights.
Yeah.
To tie in both segments.
Yeah, and she's actually a really fascinating person. I want to have her on the podcast, because she's in Ecuador, and that's like a big thing for me right now is, you know, do we even stay in America through all this chaos? Is it better anywhere else? I mean,
there's a lot of people expatriating right now.
I know. I can't help but have thought about it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so like back to the topic, you know, so we're in Arizona. And the big thing down here was the adobe, you know, the adobe houses. And I've talked about making these adobe bricks before. Mm-hmm. And I think about it, and it's kind of like a fantasy of, you know, smushing mud and straw and forming it into a brick, you know, a
letting stencil the sun or whatever. Bake it. And...
yeah, it just sounds so great. And then I'm like, actually, that sounds horribly hard to do.
Right.
I'll probably make 5 bricks and I'll be so exhausted.
Yeah. Yeah, where we used to live, we started construction on a rammed earth building.
Oh, cool.
If you're not familiar with that, just look it up. But we got one wall built and it was so labor intensive. Of course, all the materials were on our land. It was just labor. And free materials. And it was extremely labor intensive. Never finished it.
Yeah. And I wonder if, you know, if you hired some young college guys and paid them $50 a day, you know, would it balance out? Like, would it be the same cost as going to Lowe's and buying extremely overpriced lumber? You know, I mean, you still have to build with it. Even if you get the lumber. So I don't know if the dollars and cents make sense to hire labor. But
not
it is
usually.
An option.
Yeah, not usually. Usually if you're just going to hire the labor, then you've got the money to buy the material.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, if you're treating it like an apprentice program, like the gal down in Ecuador, you come, you trade your labor. You know, you're obligated to give me labor. I'm obligated to give you meals and board, you know, meals and a place to sleep and knowledge. You know, it's a value exchange that doesn't include money.
Yeah. I think that would be the most ideal way to go. And I don't know how, you know, because that's like down in Ecuador, it's like ecotourism and kind of like trendy, you know, to go to the jungle and build primitive structures. I don't know how well that'll blow over in America so much. It might. I mean, it might.
I think there is stuff in America where people are doing that type of value exchange.
Right.
Come provide labor and learn the shit that I know.
That's true.
Permaculture. Yeah, there's a lot of permaculture schools that operate on that model.
Yeah, you're right. So that's a way to circumvent maybe some inflationary stuff going on. From what I've heard, inflation is leveling out. I mean, that doesn't mean it's going down. It doesn't mean prices are going down, but maybe it's kind of leveling out. But then at the same time, I know that China just closed a super huge port due to the Delta variant, which is totally stupid. Oh my God. Just don't even get me started on that shit. But so we might find that prices keep going up. I mean, if they start locking down things out of China, which a ton of our building materials comes from, a ton of our metal, our screws, our nuts, our bolts. I'm sure they export tons of lumber from China, too.
We've talked about this before. When you're talking about inflation, the reason that America has not seen crazy inflation in the last few decades is because we import products.
Right.
So we export our inflation to other countries that send us stuff. And so, if China, for one reason or another, stops sending us stuff and we can't find another place to get our stuff, then inflation comes home and our prices go up. Also, right. You know, maybe inflation has leveled off for the time being. I've kind of seen that in some products and not in others. But the truth is, government is still spending money like crazy. So, you know, if it levels off, it's only going to be temporary.
Right. Well, I think they want to, don't they want to pass a $3.5 trillion budget for the year?
Infrastructure budget.
I think it was $3.5
Yeah.
Well, there was, no, there's a $4 trillion infrastructure bill. But for the annual budget, they want to do, I think, a $3.5 trillion. So we're looking at an injection of $7.5 trillion into the economy. So,
oh, is that all?
Huh. That's it. It used to be billions. I remember right. when it was like billions and people were balking about that. Now we're freaking in trillions.
Right.
Yeah, so I don't want to discourage anyone from going off grid because I know I was discouraging. You know, I get discouraged, and that's what you find when you go off-grid. You get discouraged about things. Things are frustrating, challenging, annoying. But things mm-hmm. are also really great, too.
Yeah, things don't always go as planned.
Mm-hmm. You know, and massive hyperinflation within building materials wasn't, you know, really on our radar at the time. So
right.
That could be discouraging. But, you know, even if you just buy the property and you slowly make improvements to it over time, you know, or if you want to live on it in a freaking tent, who cares? At least you're off right. grid, you know?
Right.
Live on in a tent part-time, you know, get a freaking one of those cool four-walled tents where you can put a, you know, you can put like a wood-burning stove in it.
Mm-hmm.
Live primitively. Learn yeah. some survival skills.
There's forage. A lot of people doing that.
Yeah, I think that's cool.
Yeah.
Forage and scavenge and hunt and fish and all that stuff, you know?
Right. And, you know, for some people, that trade-off is not worth it. And for some people, it is. You know, the trade-off for me, we've lived off-grid now for a while, and it's been excruciatingly slow to get things completed. But the trade-off is worth it for us because we're living out in the middle of the woods. We're free to do pretty much whatever we want to do. We're outside yeah. city. We, you know, we don't have the harassments of the city. So the, you know, that out here at the night, all at nighttime, all you can hear is frogs. I mean, those kinds of things
right.
are worth the trade-off for us. And it's just, it's not the case for everyone. But, and like you were yeah. saying, learning how to forage and hunt, those are skills that you never lose once you learn them. Those are valuable yeah. skills.
And you're like diehard almost like scavenge maximalist. Like you buy as little as possible, right?
Yes. And for a long time, that was by necessity. Like when we moved here, we had very little money. You know, I had no contacts. We knew no one when we moved here. So gaining customers to earn money was a very slow process. So in the beginning, it was by necessity, and now you know, we make more money, and so we spend more money on materials and things, so
mm-hmm.
it's getting better, you know.
Yeah, interesting.
But you know, but the positive side to that is all those years that we spent scavenging, foraging, hunting for food, what we taught ourselves was we can live with no money.
Wow.
Even in a society that is designed for money. If we had to, we can't. We don't anymore. But we went through a time where, I can't say we didn't have any money because I was finding ways to earn a dollar here and there.
Yeah,
but at the beginning,
you weren't like 0%.
Yeah, at the beginning, yeah. it was very minimal. You know, there were times wow. we went a month on $200, and most people would think
wow.
that's impossible.
And that's including a grocery bill. Like, that's all inclusive.
That was a phone. We had one phone at the time, and the rest went to food.
Wow, I couldn't even imagine. That's awesome. That's hardcore. Yeah, and your cabin's nice. I mean, It's not like a junky, salvage-looking cabin. It's actually, like, really nice-looking.
No, it's still junky, salvage-looking, because it's not finished. I've only ever shared pictures of parts that looked finished.
Oh, you only send me photos of the finished-looking
right.
stuff.
Right, no, trust okay. me, it's not. It doesn't look like a finished cabin. Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
I'm selective in what I show.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the modern stuff is nice. Like, we have the solar power system that we paid a mint for that has gone up way up in value since we paid for it. So we kind of dodged the inflation bullet on that. But our freaking inverter has been burnt out for over a month now. And I'm trying to get that exchanged, you know. Like, that's probably our most, like, modern off-grid amenity that we've spent a shit ton of money on. Mm-hmm. We have a well. You know, we paid a good mint for that. You know, that's still spitting out silty water. So we had to pay another little bit of money to try and get that cleaned up. So, you know, it's just like the expenses of going off grid, modern style, are pretty exuberant. Mm-hmm. It's pretty exuberant. So you might want to try some primitive stuff in with your modern stuff.
Yeah, you can do a combination of the two. It's not a one or the other proposition.
Right. Yeah. And we just moved our RV onto here, which was really nice because we parked our house, you know, we just parked our house. So we didn't have to build anything. We didn't have to build any living quarters. The downside being is that RVs don't do, you know, they're not very well insulated. So you're using a lot of energy on cooling and heating.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't just stick a wood burning stove in an RV, you know, like, at least not our RV.
Yeah.
So it's trade-offs. But right. It's been a learning experience, and there are ways around the inflation. So I just wanted to kind of point that out.
Well, that covers it today, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yep. I'm good. Are you good?
Yeah.
I'll let you all know about how the EDM festival goes. Should be trippy.
Right.
It should be
I'm sure
trippy.
You'll have a blast.
It'll be fun. And yeah. Head on over to offgridagorist.com. We have an ebook. It has been fully revised to reflect new laws and measures on the government clamping down on us. And this ebook is How to Build a Stealth Business Using Counter Economics. We tell you how to avoid Uncle Sam ripping off all your hard-earned dollars.
Yeah.
I think there's some really good ideas in there.
Absolutely.
And now they're just trying, like, as we catapult into being like a surveillance state, they're just really injecting more horrible laws into they're disguising it through these bills. Like, the infrastructure bill has a horrible law for crypto in it that they're just stuffing into the bill, like, mm-hmm. trying to disguise it. And they're really just becoming more and more of a surveillance state to squeeze more and more tax dollars out of everybody. So I kind of go over that in the book. And yeah, I think y'all like it. It's like $13. So
yeah, check it out. Lots of cool free shit also you can download.
Yep, there's some. Yep.
I say lots. There's not a lot.
There's not a lot. There's like two free PDFs. And I think the crypto one's pretty outdated now. I need to redo that. I need to do an updated crypto download. Because I've totally changed my mind on the best ways to enter and exit the market with what's going on with the system. So, we're due for a good crypto episode, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, we are.
Especially with the NFT marketplace going off right now. Non-fungible token. If you're a crypto nerd, you know what that is. If you're not, then I'll explain it. But there's some really epic stuff going on in crypto. And there's, like, really this massive war going on crypto, too. You mm-hmm. know, like, from the government and stuff.
Yeah, so. I think next week should be crypto.
You think it should be crypto next week?
Yeah.
All right, I'll start prepping for that.
And I can share a very costly lesson I learned with the audience. Don't. And they can learn from my mistake.
Okay, don't spoil it, but yeah, you did fuck up hard, Cyrus. Sorry.
I did fuck up hard. That's right.
You nuked it.
It was costly.
Total nuke.
Mm-hmm.
Shit. All right. So some stuff for y'all to look forward to, offgridagorist.com. You can send us a message through there, and I will get it this time. Maybe.
Send us one to find out. We need to know if it's working.
Send us one. Just send us a message, please, so I know if it's working. All right, y'all. Signing out.
Talk to you later.
Later.